Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff.
So we're going to start out with a little disclaimer at first. The opinions you're about to hear are not the express opinions of The Stuff podcast show. But solely of Brandon Smith and Dwight Illustrations.
So I'm just going to go ahead and add to that and say, if you're a huge fan.
Hold on. Okay. See, he didn't even let me ask a question yet. He's already ready to go. All right. Everybody I've interviewed, I've talked about, just asked real quick their opinion of Avengers Endgame. And I was talking to you on the phone beforehand, and you were about to go off. I'm like, wait, hold up.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're of the minority.
I know.
I'm curious to see why. Now, I've got my reasons. Mm-hmm. I personally enjoyed Endgame a lot as a film.
Yes. And I agree with that. As a film,
I enjoyed it as a film. I enjoyed the fan service they gave us. I enjoyed, you know, it was the end, literally, of an era. Mm-hmm. 10 years of filmmaking
that's
come to a close. This film was pretty much a thank you film. There were a lot of things that I did not particularly care for. There are a lot of social tropes that were inserted into the movie that I didn't especially care for. But in some ways, were done kind of right, kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then there were some things that I think was like, why did that need to happen?
Right.
Scarlet Witch's death, personally, first off, is one of the most unnecessary deaths in that film. I felt nothing when she died. Not Scarlet Witch. I'm an idiot. Not Scarlet Witch, but Black Widow. Yeah. Black Widow's death was completely unnecessary.
And I have some things to say about that, too.
I felt absolutely nothing when she died. And I love ScoJo.
Yeah.
But she, that was, that meant nothing to me. It didn't make sense. Story-wise.
It was shock value.
Not even shock value.
I think it was intended to be shock value.
It was supposed to be shock value because they expected it to be, we expected it to be Clint, to be Hawkeye that died. And then when they threw Black Widow in there, it was like, but
why? They kept going back and forth. They kind of kept on the edge to see which one of them would actually.
But why?
You started off as this huge role model for everyone. She's leading the Avengers, technically. She's now the leader. She's only left.
And right.
Guess what? She sacrifices herself for...
For what?
Well,
You have... And then there was the... Now, I've expressed this opinion before, and I'm not going to go into it only again because, you know, everyone's heard it before. But Fat Thor, the very first time I saw it, I was angry about it. Mm-hmm. Then after thinking about it and talking about it more, even though it was funny and it was entertaining, but I felt like it disrespected everything Thor had worked for and Thor was doing. And I thought it was a huge step backwards. Then I thought about it more, was like, you know what? That dude lost everything. Mm-hmm. That was a dude going through major depression, mm-hmm. PTSD, and...
Everything.
Like, everything. And he literally lost everything.
And then he lost.
And then he lost completely. So that was really, really cool. Number three.
Three for three.
Getting them. He lost. They lost. Everyone lost. And it was a trip. The Hulk, though, again, fun. Not what I was expecting. I thought, I call him an extremely cool version of Shrek. That's what I saw, Professor Hulk. He was a really cool, cool Shrek.
Yeah.
Like, if Shrek was like that, I'm going to hang out with him.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the Professor Hulk that I wanted to see. A lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, like I said, it was things that was cool. But as a comic book fan that knows these things, it's like...
Yeah.
Okay, guys. All right.
I'm holding my tongue. I'm waiting.
I think I'm done because I kind of really want to hear what you want to say. 3, 2, let us
happen. Okay, so I'm just going to say something to everyone here. If you're a huge fan of this movie, which you should be, they put a lot into it. One, I'm going to apologize in advance if I say something that offends you. And if you really don't want to hear it, then this would be the point where you can wrap up. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you next week.
He's wrapping up my podcast.
Okay. So that being said, I have two things. I have the good and I have the bad. Or I should say I have the things I appreciated about this movie and things that I really did not appreciate about it. So first off, let's get one thing clear. Saying a movie is good or bad is obviously relative. When right. people say it's a bad movie, they really are saying it's bad based on what I expected the movie to be. Okay? So, with that being said, here's what I'm going to start with what I did not like about it. When we all left the first movie, we left very emotionally divided.
My God.
Okay, a lot of us, and I think that's something that fans everywhere, I don't care if you read the comics or not, when you left that movie, you saw what you thought they did with Darth Vader.
We all wondered, what did we just watch?
We wished the Star Wars had given us that. We wished the villain had won and given us a reason to come back to see everyone vindicated. That's what we want. Most movies kind of make you think the villain's going to win, but then he doesn't, and we know he's not, and we expect him not to win. But when they did this, we were all... And here's the things that we lost. First off, Thanos is a villain we love to hate. Why is he a villain we love to hate? Well, we love him because we can identify with him. How so? He's a father. He's got friends. And he's got feelings. And that is very hard to... And when I say he's a father, he literally, legitimately shows his fatherly attributes, right?
Yes.
It pains him to raise his children. He's trying to have a relationship with his daughters, both, to his own... crazy way. Okay, so here's the thing, we identified with that, and it made it so hard when a guy who can be identified like that turned out to be such a psychopath. Okay, because on the flip side, now he's willing to murder everybody. So now we really saw into the heart and soul of a villain, and not every movie does that. We get 10 minutes of backstory, and next thing you know, he wants to kill the whole world, and that's what it is.
Right.
So we get the first time we meet Thanos, what did he have? He had one stone, and he was able to take on the Hulk. So right away, they were able to establish how strong this man was.
Bodied him,
too. Just in case there was any question, for people who didn't know Thanos, we understood right now, without even using a stone, how powerful this guy was.
Bodied him, dude.
He took out who could arguably be the strongest. Right, so
strongest Avenger, yeah.
Right, so now we know, wow, this is the real deal. He and his crew took on and defeated groups of the Avengers seamlessly, all the way up to the finale, where I actually felt, before the movie even concluded and before I even heard anything, that I think this guy might win. when Tony Stark in the Guardians of the Galaxy lost and he walked away with a time stone, I thought, this is it. He only needs one more. And that emotional draw brought everyone to the edge of their seat. Then when he got down to the fighting field, whatever, God. He watched through each Avenger. Vision. Captain America, Black Panther, Banner, and the Hulk Buster. He just walked through them, and when we're seeing this, we're like, wow, this man is going to do it, right? And he did it. And we thought, we're going to see something real quick in the next 10 minutes that's going to turn all this around, but no, the credits rolled.
Sure did, bro.
Walked away. So what did happen?
He's looking out towards the sunset.
He did, and he smiled.
Yeah.
So we waited around for
a year.
He's not
going to wake up in the morning.
Yeah. So look at all these questions.
I'll make breakfast.
He kills his daughter, right? He loses his crew. He bodies the Hulk, which a lot of people didn't like to see. We enjoyed seeing it, but we didn't like to see it. The internet was flooded with, there's going to be a rematch. We're going to see something. He kills through the disintegration, kills and divides and destroys families that we all spent the last 10 years loving and falling in love with. So we felt that personal. We're like, who? Everybody. Lost somebody, so we were able to identify with them. I appreciated that emotional impact that movie had on me. I wanted Thanos to pay for what he did. I don't care what that version looked like, I just wanted redemption, okay? Fast forward 1 year, we walk into the theater, what happens? In the first 2 minutes, that Thanos, and this is the part where if you haven't seen the movie for whatever reason, you might want to just go ahead and turn away now, because we're about to get into some pretty big spoilers here. Okay. Within the first few minutes, that Thanos is beheaded. That Thanos. And what did we get in replace of that? We got this Thanos that had absolutely no time to develop any type of character. Any type of storyline around this new Thanos was never developed. There was no time to develop him. We got the one who didn't even know who the Avengers were. We got the one who still had a relationship with his daughter. both of them, we had, well, semi, right? We didn't really feel that connection. At least I didn't really feel that connection with this Thanos the way I did with the first one. And to see him taken out so easily in the beginning made me think, wait a minute. The whole time. Right? That's how I interpreted that. Now, yeah, Captain Marvel, she was there. So that helped. But, so I didn't really feel like we got that Thanos, which means the closure we would have gotten with that went away in the first 20 minutes of the movie. I didn't feel like they had enough time to really develop any more with him for me to. I mean, obviously he's. I forgot how many years. That's 5 years. But how many? It was 2014. So I guess it was 5 years. Yeah. Yeah. Everything was 5 years. Okay, you're right. You're right. one other thing. Ooh, man. I don't know, man, about the fight in the end. So here's the thing. We talked earlier about storylines kind of losing their consistency, and I felt like this kind of lost a little bit of consistency with the fight, and I'll tell you why. Iron Man in the first movie, now I don't know much about Thanos in the comics, so forgive me if I speak out of turn here, but based on the movie I saw, Iron Man did okay.
Right.
He did okay against Thanos with the Infinity Stones. He did all right. First one. So a depowered Thanos was able to take on Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America, fully powered versions of all three of our heroes. Here's the reason why I don't know about that is because we never seen anything leading up to explain. Yes, even a Thanos without the Infinity Gauntlet is still that dangerous, right? To take on all three at the same time. I felt like that was more of a fist fight than what we saw in the last movie, where he was using the gems and the play. It was almost like a tennis match. He would do something, and then Doctor Strange would do something back, and then he'd do something, Iron Man would do something back. It was very intense, and you really didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right.
This now turned into a Bruce Lee movie, right? I mean, right? I mean, if I'm being honest, now we got a fist fight.
Right.
And I'm like, well...
okay.
Right? I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. What?
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Right. So... I was sitting there. I was like, so where are all the heroes at? Hulk resnapped to bring everyone back. I'm going to talk about Thor since you mentioned it. What I did like about him was that he, for the first time, a hero proved that you don't have to be the super ripped, strong guy to be a hero.
Right.
I think that sent a good message to all the fellas out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Not anybody can cosplay Thor.
Anybody can. Which is what we needed.
Yeah.
Because you know what? When he came there, he was just as powerful.
Yeah.
He had everything he needed.
He was still worthy.
He was still worthy. He was able to pick up both. So he, even though underneath all the emotional stress and impact that everything had, he still was worthy enough to call on and to yield his the weapons. So
right.
I appreciated that about that. And I would love to see where that goes. Because I am really tired of the stereotypical quote-unquote hero image, you know, super ripped six-pack,
right?
6'5",
right?
Like, come on, man, we're not all built like that, right?
Right.
Give us something.
I mean, it's
awesome.
Fantasy, it's superheroes.
It is fantasy, yeah. But give us a little something back and forth. I like seeing,
So that's something you resonate with. That resonated with you. That you appreciated.
Yes, because it diversified. Yeah, it's relatable and it diversified the characters, right? And seeing, because we know in all the other movies, he was one image, and now he's this. I really thought we were going to see a Rocky montage where he was going to get all super ripped again.
I did too.
Yeah.
I honestly thought so too.
And he showed up at that last fight. And here's the thing, man. Thor is, he's strong. He did okay against the Hulk too.
Yeah.
Right?
He did okay.
Iron Man did okay against, I mean, no one has really been able to take him down.
Nah.
So I just need to understand, man. Okay, now the next thing I really like, now I'm going to go into the things I liked about the movie. Maybe I already did that a little bit. I don't want to just trash the movie. Nebula's character development was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Darth Vader to a degree because she was so cold, so merciless, and to see her change. And you know what? She changed because of family.
Yeah.
That was Darth Vader. Right, that's what we saw back then. It wasn't, some generic reason where she just decided to change because she felt like humans and other people needed to be saved, and maybe she's been a villain this whole time. She loved her sister.
Yeah, she did.
It resonated with that. right? And yeah, I like that.
She really did.
She did. She just wanted her sister to love. And if you guys have seen, if you guys seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, they talked about that.
Yeah.
And we've seen her development, and it wasn't just all in this movie. It was over several movies, and it climaxed her. And when you saw them both on the screen at the same time, you realize just how far she's gone. Yeah. You're like, wow. Another thing I like, Captain America's. I love that about Captain America. Now here's what I like.
That was the part right there, man.
Here's what I liked.
He was already worthy, in my opinion.
Huh?
He was already worthy.
He was already worthy.
He was already worthy. He was worthy in Age of Ultron.
I screamed. I like that.
Yeah.
That was something different. We weren't expecting that. I'm glad they saved that for us. So there were some things they really did right. So we had the axe. I forgot the names of these.
Stormbreaker.
And then we had the hammer. Okay. And then we had the most advanced, I think it was what, Mach 60 Iron Man suit? I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
The most advanced. Okay. So we had all these weapons on the battlefield. Thanos had a sword.
Yeah. Ooh, he had a helicopter sword.
Yeah. That's, you know what I mean? That's not, I don't know. I might need someone to break that down. Well, Brandon, so here's the thing. Even though he had no Infinity Stones, he could still take on these heroes and win. Because they were not winning. He was breaking shields. Yeah. He was knocking them unconscious. He was borderline going to kill them.
Yeah.
These guys were going, they were going to lose again. And I'm thinking, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, Captain America's storyline, I like seeing now he's finally that hero. Even though we saw a civil war, we weren't really sure which side to vote for. It was really a personal decision. Overall, he made the right choice. And I really like the way we gave him his life back. And they did it in a way where we didn't have to follow it. Bored with that. It was like, hey, I'm back. I had the best time in the world.
Yeah.
And I like that. Yeah. Like, so if we never see him in a movie, which we obviously won't, I'm glad they tied him up.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I wouldn't mind seeing a Gamora Nebula side spinoff. Like,
either just them two.
Just them two. But in the galaxy. But, you know, on Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And explore.
Of course.
Yeah. And not really be the heroes, but not really be the villains. Just being them.
Hanging out like sisters.
Yeah, like a Will Smith and...
like Laverne and Shirley, but out in space doing adventures.
Yeah, dude, what's Will Smith and Martin Lawrence?
Oh, Bad Boys. Like but Bad Boys space. With space.
Right? I want to see that banner
that'd
playing.
That'd be kind of cool. Like,
yeah, that would be super cool.
They put that on the Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'd be all over it.
That'd be tight.
Well, so they did announce a Vision and
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's going to be cool.
Yeah. I
Loki's
I like
getting
that.
A show, too. Which so is cool because it's alternate reality now that he created because he took the Tesseract.
Yeah. He did take it, huh?
He sure did. Sure did.
Oh.
Lucky's alive in another
timeline. Yes, he is.
Now.
Yes, he is.
So for all the Loki fans out there.
Okay.
You know.
So, sorry. So, if I had to conclude the movie up, I liked it. I did. Mm-hmm. Relatively speaking, I liked the movie. But it wasn't the follow-up to Infinity War that I was wanting.
I can agree with you on that.
Okay.
I can totally agree with you.
Yeah,
on that.
That's
yeah. Yeah. It didn't have the emotional impact.
The closure.
The emotional impact that I would have liked to have had as well. I feel like I wanted to have Infinity War plus more.
Yeah.
And I think them doing that with Infinity War, what they had done, it almost seems as if the bar had gotten as high as it could go.
Yes.
And I think that's why Endgame ended up being what it was.
You know, you technically could have ended the movie
there.
Or ended it after they beheaded Thanos in the first movie and then left us with the time travel portion as a whole second movie. Then I think emotionally I wouldn't have been invested with the whole redemption thing. Like, oh, they got to get Thanos. I thought it was going to be a Manhunt movie. They were going to find him. He was going to have at least two or three of those gems.
Yeah.
We were going to see the same powered Thanos
right.
who just murdered his daughter and took on
Banner.
Yeah,
we did not get that.
Yeah, and I thought we were going to see that. And we didn't.
Yeah.
But it was still just as hard for them to take him down with no glove. I'm like, wait a minute. Why did he need the glove?
Why did he need him in the first place?
I mean,
you wonder.
He had this war, these arms.
I see
if
what
he
you're
wanted
saying.
To take on half the planet, he didn't need the glove, dude. He could have just raided the planet. But anyway, we got what we got. And,
I see what you're saying. I totally get I get exactly what you're saying, bro.
And here's another thing for anyone who doesn't know. I didn't see a single preview to this movie at all. I went in.
No one did, I don't think. Not a lot of people did.
Yeah, I didn't see a single preview.
Really?
Single trailer. Not even... I had no idea what was next.
Wow.
The only image I think I saw was a very upset-looking Captain America I saw on social media. And I get it now. That was the part where he grabbed the hammer and he had that. But
that was so tight.
Yeah,
that's still tight. In one of the past episodes, I waited 10 years Captain America say Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
And he whispered it, and I was a little upset.
Yeah, that was a little weak. Yeah.
I was like, when he saw those portals open up.
Yes.
As soon as he heard Sam on your left, I would have had all the adrenaline, super soldier serum, just my cells would have recreated it.
He yelled it out.
Yes. Just Avengers. I mean, and just as portals are just opening, yes. And they're just responding to the captain.
Yes.
Calling yes. for him.
Yep.
And then assemble. And then just, but yep. no, we got assemble.
Yeah. Like, and then we got Hulk with one arm, and yeah. he didn't do much. He didn't throw a single punch in that fight. He was just kind of.
He didn't really throw a punch in the entire movie.
No, he didn't. He just walked around. Oh.
He really didn't.
He was
and
like,
that to me was yeah. very disappointing. Like I said, very cool, very neat, but just as a Hulk. We yeah. got more Hulk in the other films.
In the Thor movie.
In the Thor movie, in the first Avengers film.
Yes.
Than so, we did in the last, like.
Yeah.
He did. And I think it was because they were so focused on him being smart.
Yeah. Save that they just for forgot, another movie. That should have been phase 4.
Not even that. I don't mind that it happened, but we didn't see the journey from that.
No, we didn't.
From that either. And they made such a big deal of it in Infinity War.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be like, okay, well, something's happened here. Now, how's the Hulk going to resolve this now?
And they just said,
oh, we're just going to give you a summary. Oh, I just put the two together, and now realized, here I am. I'm Shrek.
Yeah, I realized. What? The Hulk's been the ingredient the whole time. He's been.
And I'm just curious as to why. That was the case. So yeah, there were a lot of things that that were great, and a lot of things that were kind of whack about it. The final fight was amazing. It was a great step up from the 13 person airport fight in Civil War.
I agree with you 100%. It's like we all like pizza, but we like hamburgers too. But if I walk into a burger joint and they serve me a pizza, I like pizza.
Yeah.
That's just not what I was expecting.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I kind of think the final fight was a huge fan service.
Yeah.
But, man, so Thanos just kind of stood there watching people appear. I don't know. I think in the first one he might have done something about that. And I literally saw Black Panther walk out of the portal.
Yeah.
Like he was strutting a runway.
It was dope.
And it was dope.
It was dope.
But it wasn't realistic in that setting. Yeah. When Thanos had his army sitting there and guys were just like walking up.
Sport out, yeah.
He was, I say it because he's an intelligent fighter. He would have decimated that. He would have been like, we're on it right
what
now.
What are all these portals?
Yeah, all these portals, but you had to do that for fan service.
Yeah,
that's
why I say Endgame was 100% fan service.
It was.
And it was a thank you letter for all 10
yes,
years.
I agree.
It was more, and I think Endgame was more that than story. Closure and story and
yes,
and
it was closure
and all that.
It was closure.
It was just closure
yeah.
in general for the 10 years.
And for the characters, so. Letting us off. Iron Man, unfortunately, didn't make it, but he had a daughter, you know, so wherever
Which
that
was
goes.
A great little actress, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That little girl was great.
Yeah.
You know, most little girl actors were like, they suck. But no, she was a cute little thing. She was good.
It was.
She was good.
I'm really interested to see where they go from here. I don't know if Marvel's going to retain. Well, yeah, they bought Sony.
Yeah, they're ready for Phase 4.
They haven't bought
Sony
yet.
They're already getting Phase 4 ready, bro. We're getting
they
Silver
are.
Surfer. We're getting. The Inhumans are getting a do-over because that atrocious crap we got on TV.
Yeah, that was not going to work for me, man. I don't know what that was all about. But we still have Guardians. So Thor is going to be in Guardians
3,
of the Galaxy.
Which is perfect. So, and Beta Ray Bill is going to be in Guardians 3. So.
Is it who?
Beta Ray Bill.
I don't know who that is.
So he is the dude who actually wields actual Stormbreaker.
Okay. And
so yeah,
we're gonna see him. I heard rumors of Nova being in there. I'm not sure. Yeah,
supposed to be getting this film.
We know Adam is gonna be in there.
Yep.
I like to see where they go with Nebula and Gamora. See if they.
That's a good idea. You had them, man, for them to have their own little show.
There's so much, dude. When Thelma I saw
and
them
Louise
together,
in space, bro.
Yeah. Because we've never seen them work together.
Yeah.
So for that brief moment.
Without Thanos,
around, and I saw them work together, I thought, man, they'd be great. And then the way they bantered, like, are you sure it was him? She goes, well, it was either him or a tree. Right? Talking about Star-Lord. I thought, I was like, this is perfect, man.
Yeah.
And she retains that seriousness. She still looks like she can be kind of sinister.
Karen Gillan did an amazing job as Nebula. She did so, because I only knew her from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That's the first time, you know, Amy Pond.
Yeah.
Amy Pond. And she did amazing.
She did.
She did so good.
She turned on the villain.
And that's how, yeah. And that, a great actress.
And we saw her in the beginning being humanized by Tony Stark. I thought that was great.
That was very
cool. He was teaching her to be a human being.
Yeah.
And we don't see that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Marvel did, again, the only reason I have any disappointment with the movie is it wasn't the follow-up to Infinity War that I was hoping it would be. But you take that out of the equation. Like, if you would have said, Brandon, Thanos died in the last one. This is just a time travel movie to rectify the snap. I would have known what I was getting myself in, and I would have loved the movie. I'd be like, now.
Yeah.
But to say this is a redemption story and we're going to go up against Thanos,
what? Not really.
You give us a generic Thanos who didn't know anything.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think of Captain Marvel? I have very strong opinions about the actress and the character itself.
Okay.
As portrayed by this character.
Okay, so starting with the character, in general, I think they're doing the Superman thing. They're going to have the same problems they have with Superman. She's overpowered, and it's very hard finding a connection with someone that's that powerful. And admittedly, that's why she couldn't be in Avengers as much as she was. She probably could have done pretty good by herself. With a little bit of brains, like, and I don't mean that to disrespect who she is. I mean, like, Tony Stark kind of brains or Dr. Banner. That would have been it. So I think they're going to have some problems there. Storytelling. Same problems we've always had with Superman. How do we relate to this character? How do we make it so we actually feel like...
Did you see Captain Marvel?
I did.
Did you like Captain
Marvel? I liked it.
Because I know you're all about that girl power, bro.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I liked it only because I didn't know what to expect. Because I never had any... I knew who Captain Marvel was in the comics.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I didn't know she was that powerful. I knew she was powerful, but I didn't know she was that powerful.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was that powerful. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like at the Cerebral Surfer cosmic level where you're
she's
like...
She's pretty much a cosmic being. Yeah.
She's a cosmic thing. And I didn't realize... So... I liked seeing... She had a lot of good chemistry with Samuel Jackson. I think there was some good chemistry there between the two. It's kind of like a father-daughter kind of relationship.
I saw more buddy cop, but...
Yeah, buddy cop. Yeah, I get it. Cop, yeah. And, you know, and I always like those kind of movies. We could talk about Venom, but we don't have to talk about that tonight because...
I loved Venom.
Can I say something, full disclosure, on your show?
Of course. Go for it.
On a purely...
Entertainment standpoint...
Well, I was entertained by all these movies, but I will say that Venom is the movie that I can watch over and over again, right?
Yeah.
And I love the banter between those two. That's how you make a buddy cop superhero movie.
You're talking about Venom
like
and Brock?
That. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Now, in the comics, now I know quite a bit about Venom. Now, in the comics, it was more of a psychological communication. It wasn't...
Right.
I mean, for the reader, they would have little boxes where you know if Venom was saying something out loud, but... And this one, they made him his own person. I mean, you know, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Because you know what, dude? They were both, like Venom said, we are both losers. But together, we are something more, right? And you know what the funny thing is? They needed each other. No matter how weak and frail Brock was as a human being, he still, the Venom symbiote, so we're going way off subject now. But the Venom symbiote still needed him to survive.
Yeah.
He says, and they explain it. Because you're a match. We will both die if I find the wrong person. I will never live, and the human I try to bond with will die. So he's like, I kind of need you.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a loser too. You know, I'm an outcast. You know, and it was great, and it worked. And I'm like, yes, man, this is the kind.
Yeah.
We need take the same. It was a little else since we got to save the world, but it was for a different reason.
Right.
It was for a different. It was for a selfish reason.
Right.
If Venom knew he, in the beginning, he's like, just keep your mouth shut, keep your head down, and you will survive. We're going to bring all of my kind here, and everyone's going to die. Anyone who can't find a host is going to die. So shut up. I love that. And then eventually he's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really want to take this guy down, but...
Yeah.
And I love that. Just take the whole seriousness of the Avengers and stuff like that out of it and just have a good, funny movie, man.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we got.
Ant-Man and the Wasp was that.
Ant-Man was what was real Ant-Man, comical, though.
That it was very was comical. Very I liked it because it was so serious. There was so much seriousness that was going on.
Oh, I got a question. I'm like,
what's up? Nah, go for it.
In Avengers.
Yeah. Which one?
Okay. Ant-Man.
In general?
Okay. The second Ant-Man. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Is the Wasp's mother.
She's the very first Wasp.
How old was she when she went into that thing?
In the quantum realm?
Yeah. Because she looks pretty young.
Yeah, she was young.
So she came back aged.
Yeah, in the quantum room. She still was in there for... Oh, I see what you're getting
25
at.
25 years.
Oh, I see what you're getting at,
so how come
at,
the
bro.
Dude didn't age?
Oh, I see what you're getting at.
Why did she age? She shouldn't have aged.
I see what you're getting at.
Right? Yeah.
She's only in there technically. If it's been 25 years that he was looking for her, she should only have been in there for one day.
I mean, ish.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Right? And she looks much older. Yeah. So when Ant-Man came back out,
yeah,
his daughter was all grown. It made me think, wait a minute. The world should have grown up without her. And she should have come back relatively young. You know. So, I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. So, messed up.
So ooh. I'm just going to throw that out there. Maybe someone can explain that in the comments. Or, yeah. But yeah, going back to Captain Marvel, I think she's such a new character that I don't really know what to expect.
I absolutely can't stand her. And I don't like Brie Larson as a person, as an actress. I thought she was terrible. I didn't have... And I'm going to say this. There's people that agree. My man Dave, he does not agree with me. He's like, you just have beef against Brie Larson. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I don't like her as a person. I don't think she's a great actress. She's supposedly an Oscar. She is... You say supposedly. She is an Oscar-winning actress.
But, you know, the superhero roles, you don't really need to be the best actress to play these roles.
Yeah, but one of my biggest thing is she had zero... And I'm going to continue to say this until I'm blue in the face. You're going to present a female character as powerful as someone like Captain Marvel is supposed to be. She needs to have presence. When she comes on the screen, I need to feel like oh, my God. Perfect example. When we saw Wonder Woman coming out the foxhole for the first time.
Yeah. We
forget about beauty.
Yeah.
Forget about all that stuff. I mean, even though she was very beautiful.
Yeah.
But that wasn't what we were amazed by. We were amazed by the power and the majesty that
something,
woman
we
had.
Knew something was going to get done right now. Something
was
going
to
get done.
To go down.
She punched the time clock.
Yeah.
And it we was, knew it.
Yeah.
Right?
Captain Marvel?
Although I will say, though, I did feel, this is how I felt, should have felt like with Superman. I hate to say it, but I should have. When she rescued Tony Stark, and she was slipping away, and then you saw the glow first.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
He's safe, right?
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I appreciated that.
I will say Captain Marvel was a little bit better in Endgame. I think she's portrayed a little bit better in Endgame.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny?
But
is if they said, the director said, she did this movie before she did her own movie. So the Marvel Studios didn't even know, really. They were really shooting in the dark. They're like, we know she's going to be powerful, but we don't know how powerful. So they made this movie. She shot this movie before she shot her own movie.
Really?
So it's like backtracking, yeah. So I know there might be some inconsistencies with her mannerism.
Right.
You know, she was a little more, I'm going to say, comical, kind of, in her own movie.
I just never felt that Captain Marvel was a necessary film. In the whole grand scheme of things, I didn't think it was a necessary film. It didn't need to be told. Like, for what reason?
Because we didn't really need, I'm going to say, Avengers.
And as big as a deal they made of it with the end credit scene, she ended up doing nothing.
She did very little.
I mean, she busted through Thanos' ship, which was cool. She had Thanos in a headlock, which was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And he headbutted her and didn't do jank to her. That was cool.
Yeah.
But other than that, like...
She wasn't
Doctor
the one that
Strange,
defeated him either.
That was that dude. Hmm? Doctor Strange, that was that dude right there. Yeah. That was that dude. Yeah, I'll probably say Doctor Strange is probably the tightest dude.
In the Avengers,
dude. Doctor Strange is sick.
He's got a lot of charisma in his, who he is. Iron Man, same thing. The actor who plays those two characters, they are those characters, and they bring something new. They're not just the guy who's all ripped, who's trying to be like this model, and they embrace those roles, man. And when they get on screen, they pop.
Yeah.
you want to see them again. You're like, wait, hold on, let's go back to the Iron Man.
And sure, we didn't get that with Endgame. Much of that with Endgame, what we got in the first film.
No, we didn't.
What we got in Endgame.
And everyone kind of came out at the very last minute.
Yeah.
And
which is understandable. You see why that happened.
And I get that. I was really hoping, though, that we were going to go on a manhunt to find Thanos. And it was going to be, we were going to see the same Thanos. He was going to have at least a few of the stones. Give them a battle. Like, I wanted the stakes in this movie to be as high as they were in the last movie. And I don't feel like they were. Yeah. When they beheaded him and the Infinity Stones were gone, I'm like, well, Thanos is just a dude now.
Right.
Now they have the entire team that are going to take him on at the same time, and he's not as powerful.
Yeah, but he was when they attempted to jump him on Earth when they joined Avengers headquarters, that was funny. When they jumped him, when they tried to jump him.
I don't remember.
Well, you know when they were fighting him on Earth?
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah.
invaded after he destroyed the Avengers headquarters.
Yeah, right.
And he's just sitting there, not doing nothing.
Yeah.
And Cap, Iron Man, and Thor were just sitting there like, what's he doing? He's just been sitting there for the last hour.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just waiting. And then he straight jumped him, dude, like a bunch of crimps.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. The scene, the dialogue that I've never heard from a villain that I really appreciated from this, and I thought, okay, maybe we're going to get a little bit of character out of this guy after all, was when Nebula went to get the glove, and she looked back at him and says, well, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm just going to sit here. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It really shows his confidence in what he was, you know. And he literally sat there.
Yeah.
And
he waited. Knew he was going to win. You know?
And I appreciated that. But we didn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
In the first movie, he was confident the whole time. He never looked worried that he was going to lose this thing. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. This guy's got this under control, man. He does. He's got this under control. And he's walking through this movie just tearing down walls. And the stakes are so high. I mean, people are literally dying before the snap and after the snap. Like, you don't have to be part of the snap to die. Vision died. Loki died.
Where was Vision?
He was trying to kill Hulk, but he got sent down. He would have died too. He thought he killed Thor. He tried. I was like, man, this guy is right. And then the last one. Again, we just didn't get that. I hate to be a dead horse. I just wish the stakes were that high.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess it was more of a movie about bringing everyone back.
Right.
Yeah, superhero thing.
Shazam.
You're good. Like I say, it was just closure in general.
Yeah, sure.
And I think more of the Infinity Saga than Infinity War.
Yeah.
You know, the story.
You know what? They could have, if I can just, I'm not a movie teller, I'm not a director or writer, so I don't want to say this is what they should have done. But, again, expanding on what my thoughts were, if they knew, if they just came out and said, we can bring everyone back, but there's a time before they're gone forever. There's a time. So the stakes are high, the clock is running out. Just like in the last one, we when Vision left that room, I felt a lot of pressure when they were trying to take the stone out of his head. And I felt a lot of, I sat at the edge of my seat, I'm like, you guys are stressing me out. You need to take that stone out of this guy's head.
You're right.
Like, right now. Right now, excuse me, right now. Right? If they would have said, guys, we can reverse everybody, but it has to be done by a certain amount of time. And then the movie was them trying to.
Look at this. They still think they're young. Oh, wow. Still, dude. So, just real quick, three old dudes on bicycles.
On old school bikes.
Old school bikes, dude. Look like choppers, dude. Chopper cruisers, man. Playing old school Marvin Gaye, just rolled by.
Yeah.
In chains. Only sack, dude. I've never seen that before in my life, bro.
That's funny.
Oh, man. That was good.
I'm looking forward to seeing what else they have. There's one thing Marvel has established. They're very good at combining all their movies and TV shows and creating a big
universe.
Yeah.
And, a cinematic television universe. Now they're bringing it all together.
And DC is now kind of, if I'm talking about them, with their recent successes. And
they're starting to figure it out. DC, and I said this, DC needs to just focus on individual movies and stories.
First.
Don't worry about... I don't even think they should worry about universes.
No.
Don't do that.
Well, we already know they're all part of the same universe.
Yeah.
Just like the movies we knew. We know.
Yeah, don't do the Marvel formula. Just be your own way and tell stories.
Yeah.
That's why Shazam was so good.
Yeah.
That's why Aquaman was so surprisingly good.
Okay, I saw that movie. Finally. I waited for it. Now, let me tell you how I saw it. This is something you can put in your thing.
You put this in.
I'm going to be honest with you guys, if anyone's still listening at this point. I really thought Aquaman was going to flop. I'll tell you what.
I did too. I did too, bro. Yeah. Everyone did.
It came out in the theater, and I said, I don't care.
You sure did say you don't care. I remember talking to you, bro. You sure did.
I was not impressed with him in any of the movies prior to this. I was like, in Justice League, it was almost a joke. I was like, why didn't you give us Green Lantern? Why'd you give us Aquaman?
Right.
You know? Anyway, I don't want to get into that, a whole other story, but I didn't want to see it because I already predicted what it was going to be. It was going to be this guy with long hair. He's going to show his abs every chance he gets, and that's pretty much the story. He's going to beat up the bad guys. So, let me tell you what I got. I was on my way to work, and I was driving to the... I was like, 2-hour drive. There was a website that, to my undying shame, I was able to see it.
Your bootleg, that piece.
I'm like, and that's what the movie deserved. In my head, thinking, this is... I don't like to do that.
Deserve my money.
So, I put my phone, clipped it on my vent, and I said, okay, I'm going to watch this movie. I got about 30 minutes in to the point where... forgive me, what's her name?
Mara.
Yes. Comes out and saves his dad. I stopped it. And I said, this deserves the big screen. I didn't rent it. I went and bought it. And I've watched it several times since then.
That movie's up. Isn't that great, dude?
Fantastic movie.
Isn't that good,
and
bro?
I'll tell you why I like it so much. Is because this guy doesn't know how awesome he is, I guess you'd say. They didn't rely on his looks or his charisma.
It had nothing to do with it.
He didn't know, and he
saw... When he tried to do his looks, he got shot down immediately.
Big time.
Immediately.
Like, bro, you are not the best-looking person on this film right now, so shut that down. But then there was a moment where he did the fan service, and, man, when they brought his mom back, we didn't see that coming. I was like,
it was
wow.
So good, man.
That's why does everyone have to die in these movies, good. You know? Yeah. My mom died, my dad died, and everyone's dead.
Yeah.
And then she reunited.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I'm like, you know what?
The movie was great, right. Great, dude.
And then Shazam, I haven't seen it, but I heard a lot of good things about it.
Shazam was really good, too, man. Really good.
At this rate, they can start maybe dropping in second characters in, like, as guests. Kind of like what they did with Wonder Woman in the BVS. Kind of like Glimpse.
I want DC to continue on the path they're going. I think this should be DC's style. If they want to be succeeding in movies, they should not try to be Marvel.
No, I agree.
Forget a universe, forget all that. Make your own separate movies and separate films with stories that are self-contained with those characters only.
Yeah.
Don't worry about trying to connect everything and don't do that.
Right.
That's why I can't wait for that Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, boy.
Okay, so I don't know about that movie, man.
I do. That movie's going to be great. And I love Joaquin Phoenix as an actor. So,
Heath Ledger just had a high bar. Man.
He did. He really did.
It's hard to see a Joker movie without Bruce Wayne.
But this is what's going to make the Joker movie so good, though, is because it's just the Joker. It's post-Batman. And this is in a different reality setting because they're focusing on the mental illness aspect of it, which I think is very different.
Yeah.
What drives a criminal... It's really a criminal profile. That's what this movie is. Yeah. That's going to be so different and so cool.
I agree.
What drives a person... to the brink of insanity, like the Joker's.
Yeah.
To be a guy that's just a struggling comedian, to he's having a couple bad days where he's treated like a certain way to drive him to just murder, homicidal maniac.
Yeah.
What drives a person to that? I'm super curious to see what that looks like. And Joaquin Phoenix being the type of method actor he is, I think is going to portray that.
I agree. I think he has the ability to do it. You know. I think sometimes characters complement each other to a point. And in fact, not a whole lot of characters can kind of break away from their origins and become something completely different.
Right.
Venom, Harley Quinn, I guess Joker, very few do villains ever step out of that role and become almost like anti-heroes
right.
to a point where we want to see them mm-hmm. kind of do the Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that we're going to kind of go in that direction with Joker.
Yeah.
Or we're going to admire movies where he's just able to get away with just committing these mass murders. And we're like, yeah, that was a cool movie because we saw Joker do everything Joker did. So, but he's really complimented by Batman, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's two people who, I guess, are both mentally ill,
mm-hmm.
but they handle it differently.
Correct.
Right? And we see sometimes...
Because they are the same person, but like you said, they do handle it totally different ways.
They're handling their drama different ways, but they're both still, by the very definition, insane. Yep. Right? I mean, Batman will never end the violence, but he continues to fight it over and over, and he knows, did this go away, I gotta start putting people in the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And he knows. Anyway, I don't want to go on that. But, you know, and then I liked how Cyborg and Flash, how they bounce off each other in the Justice League movie. I thought if two characters can deserve a movie together, it's those two. What I would like to see a Cyborg and Flash in Flash's movie.
I have a hard time with Ezra Miller Flash.
Okay.
Ezra Miller as the Flash. I have a hard time with that.
As the Flash? Yeah, but I do like him as an actor.
Yeah, as an actor, he's a great actor. He's a great actor.
He is.
But as the Flash, I have a hard time with it. That's not Barry Allen. That's not Barry Allen.
Well, you know, now we have someone to compare him to with the TV series.
No, but we had someone in the comic books, and we've had even in the past television shows, we've had someone.
Sure.
You know, and that's not Barry Allen. You know, and it just...
Well, I don't know.
But as an actor, Ezra Miller did a great job. He was a lot of fun. He was funny. But
he was. He brought a lot of the fun factor in the movie. Yeah. He was real... and I don't know how
I enjoy Justice League. Like I said, I'll take Justice League over Batman versus Superman any day.
Yeah, man, I had problems with that too, man.
Oh, I did too.
None of the characters became heroes. I will say this until I'm blue in the face, and I felt like this way in the first Avengers movie. Okay? And same as if you bring that kind of group together, it better be a reason. I don't feel like the world was getting ready. I never felt like the world was going to end watching that movie. I never did. The beginning where he went to where he fought the Amazons,
the mascara.
I thought that was a great opening.
Yeah, it was
showing just how powerful and skilled this guy was, and I thought, okay, this movie's gonna go somewhere. Oh man. But then it kind of started to fall off a little bit, a little inconsistent for me. I didn't feel like they needed the entire Justice League to take him down. Maybe they did. They did? Okay. So then here's what I'll say.
Steppenwolf,
If you're going to do that,
let
us see the stakes. There was only 3 civilians in that movie that were in danger. Well, there was one in the beginning where Wonder Woman freed him, and then there was only 3.
Right.
And then there was Superman flying a building away.
that was pure comedy. Yeah.
That was great. But
yeah.
Where's the army? Where's the special forces?
Yeah.
Where's the president making a claim, hey guys, this is it? Like when we got with Zod and Men of Steel, I felt like the world was going to end then.
Yeah.
Right? You got civilians, and then boom, Superman comes down, he's floating there. Here's our savior. Do we trust him or do we not trust him? Perfect.
Right.
But in this one, guys, we're going to go low key. No one even knows Superman's back from the dead. We just resurrected him, he smeared us all over the pavement.
Sure
he shows up at the last minute, smears this guy all over the pavement, and that's it.
You should
roll credits.
Smear them all over the pavement. Dude.
All over the pavement.
That was the best part of Justice League. Pet Cemetery Superman, dude. That was the best.
So my question is what happened in BVS?
Yeah, just that.
You see the dialogue? He held him there, and he says, I'm going to talk to you about something. Like, I'm going to tell you. Do you bleed? Right? I need to know this. This is a question we can answer right now. He says, does the world need you?
Yeah.
Right? And held him there in his place. So the question is why was all that in BVS?
Yeah.
What was all that? You waited till you got shot. And Batman had the kryptonite on his belt the whole time. And he waited to use it? Especially this guy with guns. Even though I saw him level buildings and I know that he's indestructible, I'm going to try it anyway, you know? Come on, man.
I know.
That right there, you would simply cease to exist if Superman just went through you at 800 miles an hour. Batman would have never known he was dead.
Sure wouldn't have, dude. Just been a nice mist.
It just done, right? Or he could have held him and said, you're going to listen to what I have to say.
Yeah.
We've been manipulated by Lex. My mom's being held captive, and you're going to help me.
Yeah.
Period.
It's a story.
That took 3 seconds. He could have held him by his jaw in the middle of the air, and that would have been it. Or, you know, and someone I was talking about, well, how do you please the audience and give them a win? Well, you know what would have been cool, if I could say real quickly, is show the fight from both the perspectives. When Superman lands, let the fight carry on as if Batman went all in with the kryptonite and everything and just caught Superman off guard. He didn't even know kryptonite existed in that movie, so I understand why he walked into it a little bit, right? And showing Batman. And then you pan out that kind of from his face, like he's envisioning, okay, that's how the fight's going to go. And then do the same thing from Superman's point of view. I'm going to take this guy out. Bullets are bouncing off me. I'm taking him out. However that looks, make it nice. Make the Superman fans go, yeah, that's what would really happen in a Superman bat. And then, they both have a vision of how they both feel the fight would go. But the fight never really happens. You would have gotten the same thing. You still would have gotten the fight.
From a visual standpoint, yeah.
It would have been great. I say that because what we got was two different types of audiences trying to be satisfied at the same time.
Yeah.
And that didn't work.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Because I felt like I was robbed as a Superman fan.
Well, dude.
Totally robbed, bro.
Justice League showed us what would really happen if
Superman rolled up and what would happen if Superman was in the middle of that. He got swatted multiple times, dude.
And it put a dent in the car door, bro. And you know what? Here's the thing. Batman couldn't get up after that.
Could not get up.
And he picked him up in this guy.
He got knocked down so hard, Batman became comedy relief. Unheard of. I can't even get up.
No, he said something is definitely bleeding.
Yeah,
definitely bleeding. You're dang right it's bleeding, dude. Right? So how do you make a fight? So on the comic books, you kind of bend the rules, but in real life, dude, even though it's all fantasy and fiction, we still want some measure of truth and reality. Yeah, you know, come on, man. People were calling Batman fans were calling foul on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Superman fans were calling foul on the whole thing. Like, you know, Batman fans were like, no, dude, moment one, he would have shot kryptonite right there.
Yeah.
And Superman would have flown right through it, didn't know what happened, and then we could have seen Batman just take him down and then end it with the whatever.
Yeah.
All right? And then we could have seen another version where Superman saw the thing coming and did his super thing around it like we saw with the Flash, so we know he has that. He could have freezed it like he did with Steppenwolf. We finally saw his freeze breath. He could have done tons of things, man.
Yeah.
And said, no, dude, you're not going to throw batarangs at me and bullets. Come on. Anyway, so we're getting on to it.
Yeah. Well, I better wrap this up, dude, because we can go on, bro.
We have a lot to say.
On, dude.
but it's been great, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. It's a good episode. But before we take off, I want you to give out your social information. If anybody wants to get commissions from you, anybody wants to get some work, because we always support the arts.
Yes, I keep it very simple. It's Dwight Illustrations. You can find DwightIllustrations@gmail.com is my email. DwightIllustrations.com is my website. Dwight Illustrations on multiple platforms like Facebook and Instagram. Keep it very simple. If you like mech, all things mech, come check me out.
There it is. And again, man, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Hanging out, bro.
All right.
Well, have you do like a co-host? And again, that's kind of the style that I like to do, like co-host more instead of just questions all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so this is dope. This is definitely work, Mike.
No.
So anyways, thanks a lot, guys, for watching this week. And we will catch you next time. Take care. So that's it for this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening in and taking the time with me to talk some more about news, entertainment, life, all the different stuff that I usually talk about. You guys are so awesome, so amazing, and I really appreciate you guys. Content is growing on a constant basis, and I would love for you guys to continue spreading the word and participating in the community, the social community that I'm trying to build. I'm over on Facebook, so follow the Facebook group, The Stuff Podcast Show. You can also find me on Twitter @TheStuffIDW. On Instagram, The Stuff Podcast Show. And you can also send me an email. Give me your feedback on the shows, what you think, any show suggestions, topics, and ideas. You can always send them there, and I'll be sure to read them. And I take these suggestions and
read them aloud on the What You Say Brit segment of my show. You can shoot an email to me at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you all very much, and I look forward to chatting and hanging with you guys again next week on The Stuff Podcast Show.